Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Tomáš Rosický and you are listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle, Giroud! It's two!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 8th of February 2016. I'm Russell Hargreaves. On this week's show, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain shares his love of all things sport. Adrian Clarke is here to preview the Gunners' massive top-of-the-table clash against Leicester. And to remember, a Valentine's Night friendly for this week's history lesson. But first of all, let's kick off by talking to Dan Roper and Nick Brumsack with a bumper weekend review. So it's welcome back to Matchday Show commentary team Dan Roebuck and Nick Brumsack here on the podcast. Arsenal, of course, in action twice last week. And before we get to yesterday's trip to Bournemouth, there was a frustrating evening on Tuesday against Southampton. Nick, hello, mate. You were, of course, there for that one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, frustrating would be perhaps the word.
Yeah, I think if you isolate it, you could say it was maybe one of those games. But having drawn at Stoke, having lost at Chelsea, it wasn't really good enough for Arsenal. They had a number of good opportunities. And while Fraser Forster was excellent in the visitors' goal, I just felt that they needed to take one of them. You know, they missed some gilt-edged chances, and in a way, it was a similar game, wasn't it? Especially in that second half to the Newcastle one around New Year's Day time, where Arsenal kept knocking on the door towards the end and got the breakthrough. And unfortunately, against the Saints, they just couldn't quite open the door.
I suppose when you've got a keeper in fine form, as Forster's been since he's come back from injury, it's a case of trying to ram in a goal that no keeper can save, isn't it? A bit like Jesse Lingard's goal, for example, for Man United against Courtois.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think he made 11 saves, which was, you know, a phenomenal effort from him. And he was a clear man of the match. But having said that, there were a few chances. I'm looking at Theo Walcott's one midway through the second half. And then Laurent Koscielny with that free header from about 6 yards, where you think you need to put those goals in, especially when you're going for the title. Unfortunately, Arsenal couldn't do that. But, I mean, some of the saves that Forster made, especially the one from Ozil in the first half, a couple from Giroud after the break as well, were absolutely exceptional.
Nick, plenty more from you in just a second. Dan's here as well. Dan, just while we're on this game, before we expand to Bournemouth as well, that lack of cutting edge in the final third, is it an ongoing concern for you?
Well, it was at the time, wasn't it? Because of goalless efforts against Chelsea, what a defeat, of course, against Chelsea, and failing to score against Stoke as well, and that made it three on the spin that Arsenal hadn't scored in the Premier League, and it was disappointing. You know, we talk about Fraser Forster, and it was interesting the reaction from one or two emailers on the Matchday show after the game against Southampton. They were bitterly disappointed, and they kept on suggesting to me and David Hillier, who was on co-commentary duty that night, that we were sort of apologising for Arsenal not scoring, and we should be a little bit more honest. And I think Nick touched something there. You're going to win the title, you've got to score, you've got to win these games. Fraser Forster, yes, he had a fantastic game that night, and he continues to do so, as you just mentioned. I don't think he's conceded since he's come back from injury. It's been extraordinary since he's come back, and you'd like to think he's nailed on to make the European Championship squad for England in the summer. But you've got to take your chances, and it was disappointing. There's no doubt about that. And those are the games when you look back over the course of the season, that's 2 points dropped, because it was 2 points dropped. You've dominated the game, you've created the chances, you've got to be more clinical in front of goal.
On the whole this season, whenever Arsenal have had either a bad game or a bad little mini run, they have bounced back. And on the back of that draw, Arsenal, of course, travelled to Bournemouth on Sunday. And let's remind ourselves of what happened.
Hector Bellerin. looking to try and use his pace, cutting infield, short for Ramsey. Ramsey has got Oxlade-Chamberlain further right. Oxlade-Chamberlain stays in his position. Ramsey hoisted inside the penalty area. And he's Ozil with a shot into the net. Arsenal have the advantage. It sat up beautifully for the German, who just thumped it past Boric. It is Bournemouth 0, Arsenal 1. Meanwhile, this is Ramsey, edge of the Bournemouth penalty area, looking here for Oxlade-Chamberlain, who goes for goal, hits the bottom corner, flies across the line and goes in for another. Arsenal lead by 2-0. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain strikes one post and then ricochets in off the other. Bournemouth have been caught cold from the restart. It is Bournemouth 0, Arsenal 2.
So, Dan, much more the tonic that the Gunners needed, and the way other results fell, obviously, things not looking too bad, and could be all the better if they could somehow beat high-flying Leicester and get within 2 points come another week's time.
Yeah, you mentioned the results sort of falling our way. Are we still in this situation where we're not believing Leicester are title contenders? Did we want Leicester to win that game against Manchester City? I guess we did, really. I'm still firmly in the camp, but I think I'm getting into a bit of a minority that believe that Leicester will fall away when the pressure starts to sit on them. The bookmakers made them favourites on Saturday night after they beat Manchester City. But yeah, Arsenal, if they can beat Leicester next time out, the gap will just be two. So it was imperative to win yesterday. Didn't create as many chances as we did against Southampton, so it was a different game. I thought it was hard fought. It was a tough encounter. Bournemouth played well, I thought, in the second half, and they created some good opportunities late on. Petacek with a late double save to keep a clean sheet for Arsenal. But yeah, the goals were good, weren't they? Pleased for Mesut Ozil, his first goal since scoring against Bournemouth in the reverse fixture. And Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, when he started the season scoring the winner against Chelsea in the Community Shield, you think to yourself, this is a player that can really kick on. This is his season. 15-16 will be the campaign that we see the Ox establish himself as first choice, get into that England side and stay there. For whatever reason, it's not quite worked out. I know he's had one or two issues with injury and a little bit of a dip in form as well, but great to see him contribute. It's great to see him on the score sheet as well. Hard fought, I thought, against Bournemouth, but deserved. Arsenal were the better side and much needed after the recent blips. And yeah, we're right back in the title race. We're 5 points off Leicester now. Spurs obviously just above us on goal difference, and lots of people talking about the goal difference yesterday, about the fact that it's 9 between Spurs and Arsenal. I'm sure that will change between now and the end of the season. But yeah, it just keeps us bubbling along and keeps us very much in the mix.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And Nick, just reflecting a bit more broadly there on some of what Dan had to say and beyond, really good for Ozil as well to get that goal. And again, he's not been 100% fit at times. He's had to play through the pain barrier and not always been training as much as he would like. So hopefully we're seeing him get back to sharpness. Alexis is clearly coming back to sharpness as well. And these key match winners that Arsenal are going to need in these next few weeks.
Yeah, I think Mesut Ozil has probably been the main positive for Arsenal in these last two games against Southampton. He created 10 chances. That's the most of any player in a single game this season. Then I thought he took the game by the scruff of the neck against Bournemouth. He opened the scoring. It was a really good finish, actually. Mm. He almost had to get on tiptoes, didn't he, to make sure that he stayed over the ball. And he's going to be key for Arsenal in these closing weeks, as is Alexis Sanchez. So I thought on Sunday he looked a little bit off the pace, but I'm sure that with a week's worth of rest and training, he'll be ready for the Leicester game. Just picking up on what Dan said about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, their sentiments I echo completely, really, because in pre-season he was on fire. You know, he was excellent. He rounded it off, of course, by scoring that winner against Chelsea. And I thought if one Arsenal man this season is going to have a great one that could lead the club to the title, it was going to be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. And for whatever reason, that's not happened. But it was really good to see him get his first goal actually away from home for the club yesterday. Of course, he's been in now for, 4.5 years or so. So it was about time.
Do we know exactly where the Ox's best position is? That's a question that comes up all the time on the Matchday Show. And obviously, we saw him play on the right-hand side yesterday, but he sort of played a little bit infield as well. We saw him play in the number 10 role this season. We've actually seen him play on the left-hand side as well. Are we convinced which position is his best, Nick? Where do you think he should play?
I think I like him playing on the right in those away games because, as you mentioned, he can come centrally and he can help the likes of Ramsey and Flamini when they need it. And with the Ox as well, what I think when he plays on the right wing is because he's got so much pace going forward, he can really help to engineer those quick counter-attacks that Arsenal have become known for. And maybe that's the place that he needs to be in. You know, when he's on the left, he has to keep coming inside. I'm not too sure about his left foot. And in the number 10 position, I think the likes of Ozil and Cazorla, even Alexis, are always going to be ahead of him there. So maybe that's the place for him to try and stake his claim, especially with Alexis looking pretty settled on the left and Ozil in the middle. I think that could be the area.
There's one or two players perhaps not in the richest vein of form at the moment, and I think if Theo Walcott and Olivier Giroud didn't exactly have the best of games, did he, on Sunday? Are you concerned there, or do you think one or the other or both will refine their form and get their confidence bubbling for this key run-in?
I think from a Giroud point of view, obviously he teed up Mesut Ozil's goal. He's a battler, and every single time the spotlight is thrown upon Olivier, he always responds. Whenever there's been talk about a new striker coming in, or whenever there's a striker coming, he's always stepped up to the plate, and he's managed to find his form and score goals. And his goal-scoring record in the Premier League is terrific. And I know there's been a lot of talk, and you mentioned it before, us about taking your chances against Southampton. That's what you've got to do, and you've got to have a striker who can do it. But I'm quite happy with Olivier at the moment. He still contributes. He still works hard. The biggest problem, to a certain extent, this is an odd one for Olivier Giroud, is that we could do with two of him because, in my opinion, he's the best Arsenal substitute. He's the guy who can make an impact like no other. Theo, I don't think, can make the same sort of impact as a substitute, which sounds a bit strange because you think pace comes on, can change pace later on. But Olivier Giroud, the amount of time that he loses his place, say, for example, in the starting line, he'll come back in as a sub and he'll score is phenomenal. He's got a great asset that he can seem to get to the pace of the game very quickly. He can make his presence felt. And it's a shame we can't have two of them, really, but you can't have everything. But Giroud will battle away. Theo has had a bit of a dip, but he's such a quality performer, such a talented man, and he's got something that no one else has got, and that's that pace. And you know that he's going to be an asset between now and the end of the season, so I'm not too concerned about that there.
I think on Giroud, something there as well is that he tends to score in fits and bursts. You know, he might go four or five games without a goal, but then in his next four or five, he'll score five or six. And for me, the only thing that's really missing from his game is that little bit of consistency. And like, for example, that Southampton game, he had a few chances and he hasn't done too much wrong. The goalkeeper's made some fantastic saves, but that's, for me, where you want Giroud to stand up and say, right, we need a goal here, someone to win this game, I'm going to be that man. And I think that between now and the end of the season, that could be crucial for Arsenal.
Let's just take a look at the back as well, because as we were hearing 2 or 3 minutes ago, Bournemouth did carve out some decent chances during the game. Yes, Arsenal nailed them in the end, but do you feel for a title-winning or title-winning aspirational team that perhaps need to lock down some games a bit more convincingly, or...?
Yeah, perhaps. I thought, actually, Arsenal were quite sloppy in the second half and thought the ball retention wasn't anywhere near as good as it should have been in that situation. But then, if you turn it around, I think it's 4 clean sheets out of the last 6.
I'm going to say, Nick, I think you're being a bit harsh today. Have you got your harsh hat on today?
I kind of led him into it, to be fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But look, I just thought that Arsenal could have made that game safe. They could have gone and got that third goal earlier than they did. Having said that, Arsene Wenger did mention, didn't he, that confidence was a little bit brittle going into the game. So maybe it's no surprise to see them play the way they did it in the second period there. But just touching on the defence, 4 clean sheets out of 6, that's not too bad.
Not bad, is it?
And you look at the chances that Bournemouth had, most of them came from outside of the area. OK, maybe the players could have been closed down a bit quicker. But when you've got someone like Petr Cech in goal, you're almost inviting teams to have a try from 20, 25 yards, because 9 times out of 10, he's either going to save it or they're not going to hit the target anyway. So I think when you look at the last few games, of course, the Chelsea one, they conceded one, but at Stoke, they were solid against Southampton, who had a few threats, the likes of Mane and Shane Long. I thought Arsenal generally dealt with that well. And against Bournemouth on Sunday, yes, they did have a few chances, but I don't think Arsenal were ever really too worried about them coming back into the game.
Do we think, just one point on Gabriel. Do we think Gabriel will keep his place for the Leicester game? Is he now ahead of Per Mertesacker? I was sort of slightly surprised that Per did come back in.
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't. I was surprised as well that he didn't play against Bournemouth. But looking ahead to that Leicester game, the pace of Vardy, the pace of Mahrez, you think maybe Gabriel should be the man to play in that game. And I reckon Arsene Wenger, from now until the end of the season, providing they all stay fit, we'll just base it on the opposition, really. Gabriel's not playing too badly at the moment. I thought he was actually quite good against Bournemouth on Sunday. So I would expect him to keep his place for that Leicester game. But then, look, we could see Pear come in for another game, maybe the Man United one coming up, or Swansea. Teams who perhaps play in a different way to Leicester. Maybe Wenger will try and cater for that by changing his back four around a bit.
So, Dan, what's your take then defensively? I mean, there is the Leicester game to come. obviously the Spurs in a few weeks. As Nick said, there's some other huge challenges around the corner as well. That's without even going into Europe. Do you think that collective of the sort of six or seven main first-team options will hold up?
I think, I mean, the central defensive pair, I think the two full-backs have nailed down their place at the moment. And that is not going to change. Obviously, Mathieu Debuchy has gone out on loan, so I don't think we're going to see any change left and right back at the moment. There was always a suggestion that Costione and Gabriel are going to take the club forward over the next few years and they will be the mainstay. There's also a suggestion that they're similar type of players. I think Gabriel's looked good in the vast majority of the games recently that I've seen him play. He's still a little bit raw, I think, on the odd occasion. I mean, he's only been at the club just over a year. You've got to remember that. So it wouldn't surprise me, I think, this morning out that we see Mertesacker come in for certain games, but he will be horses for courses. Leicester are so quick on the break, you can't really imagine Arsene Wenger playing Per Mertesacker against Leicester, you wouldn't have thought. But when Arsenal are sitting further back and haven't got to worry about a team on the break as much, a la Manchester United away, then it might be a little bit different. But generally, as Nick's just pointed out, I mean, the stats are pretty good. When you're not scoring, it puts more pressure on your defence. But I think that hopefully Arsenal have just come out of that lull with those scoreless efforts against Southampton, Stoke and Chelsea with two against Bournemouth. And hopefully we can kick on from here and it'll put less pressure on that defensive unit. But I'm fairly happy with how we're performing at the back.
Gentlemen, I always love these little three-way discussions when there's been two games. We can really get into the nitty-gritty. Anything else that either of you would like to raise? Any other points you want to get off your chest before we finish? Nick?
Yeah, just ahead of that Leicester game, really. Arsenal come into it. I think they're the only team, really, who have beaten Leicester at their own game this season. You know, that game at the King Power back in September, I think there were 43 shots in total, and Arsenal had the better of that game. Yeah, there were a few scares, but in the second half particularly, I thought they were excellent. And going into this game on Sunday, there's nothing to fear from Leicester for me anyway. I mean,
are we really saying that about Leicester? Are they really that good?
Oh, I think that, I mean, are they that good? The performance at Man City, their performance against Liverpool answers that question. I think, yes, they are.
Are they title contenders, Nick, Ross?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are they title contenders? Well, I mean, yeah, of course they are. They're five points clear with 13 games left.
I've seen a fair bit of them this season. And I know what you mean. There's that perception that there are a few cracks that maybe will break and the fissures will suddenly open. But at the moment, you look at the collective and the camaraderie and the teamwork and the organisation of the majority of the side, then you put in two absolute top-class players in Mahrez and Vardy on top of that. It's a blooming good effort, I have to say. And they're still hanging in there and they're 5 points clear again. So why not?
I'm going to blame you two if Leicester win at the weekend because you've talked them up for the past 5 minutes.
for me, the key thing with Leicester is, just to finish, after this Arsenal game, their next five matches are against Norwich, West Brom, Watford, Newcastle and Palace. And all of a sudden, they're under pressure to win all of those games. And they haven't had that at any point in this season.
Very true.
People have always said Leicester are going to fall away. In December, in January, now in February, people are still saying, you know what, this team might fall away. And even if they beat Arsenal, coming into those next five games, suddenly they need to win all
of those. Different type of pressure, isn't it?
Exactly. And also, you look at Vardy and Mahrez, as Russ was saying, they're the two key outstanding players in that team. If any of them get an injury, that's where I think problems could start to surface. Having said that, they're only in one competition. They've got 13 games left this season. If they keep their players fit, I think they could surprise a few people by the end of the season. I'm not saying they'll win it, because I don't believe they will, but I think they'll be right up there.
We're going to hear more from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in a moment, and of course more with Adrian Clarke on that Leicester game between now and the end of this week's Arsenal Weekly podcast. Dan, Nick, always a pleasure, gentlemen, and look forward to the next Match Day Show commentary, of course, here as well. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Russ.
Great.
Cheers.
Great stuff. Thanks, Russ.
As we just heard, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain got Arsenal's second goal against Bournemouth yesterday. And in another world, he could have easily been dazzling down the wing on the rugby field instead of on the football pitch. The Ox played rugby union throughout his school life and was even offered a trial at London Irish. He spoke with Arsenal media's Liam Roberts about trying different sports and which of his teammates has got hidden sporting talents.
I guess you can take stuff from any different sport you play, especially other team sports, which obviously cricket and rugby are. Thinking rugby and cricket, to be fair, to an extent. It's very big on respect and respect for the game, respect for your teammates and the opposition in rugby. So, I mean, you can always take that into football. There's definitely no back chatting to the ref in rugby. I haven't carried that over to football, because I do like to sometimes tell the ref if I don't think he's got it right. But no, there's definitely stuff you can learn. And yeah, just playing in any sort of team sport and getting that winning feeling and working with other teammates, it's always good for football, which is also a team game.
Are you one of those annoying people that's just good at everything you pick up? Because I notice some people, they won't play a sport and they'll just start playing.
Yeah, I don't like to admit to it, but I'm definitely that person. If you ask Kieran Gibbs that question, it's what he always says to me. He just says I'm just always good at pretty much all the sports that we sort of do. I'm table tennis, tennis. When I was younger, I used to play everything. I think I was just quite naturally good at sport in general, so I picked everything up quite quickly.
What's the weirdest one? Because I once played lawn bowls and was really good at it.
Really?
And yes, I was like, okay, I'm going to start playing lawn bowls now.
I don't know. I think table tennis is another weird one. I'm pretty good at table tennis. That's one of those games I can go away from for 6 months and then come back and first game be quite good still. So yeah,
is there anything you haven't played that you think, or like you kind of want to have a go at?
I don't know, like even when it comes to like skiing or something like that, I used to be good at skiing. I used to love going skiing, so I don't know. I guess it's just something that I wouldn't have had the resources to. Anything that, you know, in our day and age that you can play quite easily, I pretty much played, you know, basketball, things like that. It's not really many sports I haven't tried.
Have you ever thought of maybe going to a batting cage? Try something like the baseball batting cages, something like that?
Yeah, definitely. That's probably one thing that obviously we don't play much here, so never really tried that. But I used to be good at rounders as well at school, so it's a little bit similar to that. I think if you just got good hand-eye coordination, obviously cricket probably helped with that. You'd be good. You'd be halfway there. But no, I sound like I'm just harping on how good I am at sport.
That's fine. I was just going to say. So final one. If apart from yourself, who is the best round-all sportsman at the club?
Theo is definitely one of them. I know he's good at. He's quite good at cricket. Yeah, he was quite good at cricket. I think Callum as well. Callum Chambers is a pretty good all-round sportsman. Gibbo's not bad as well. He's quite good. Gibbo's good at tennis. Great serve on him.
The Ox will be hoping to be in Roy Hodgson's England squad for the European Championships in France this summer. And speaking of France, they're the subject of today's history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit them. Oh, a free goal!
It's off for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 14th of February 1989, Arsenal played the French national team in a friendly in front of 50,000 fans at Highbury. The game was organised as a warm-up for France, who'd got a World Cup tie against Scotland coming up, and for Arsenal to show themselves as ambassadors for English clubs' reintroduction into European competition, but after the Heysel Stadium tragedy. Arsenal would go on to beat the French team, which included a young Eric Cantona 2-0 on the night, courtesy of goals from Alan Smith and a screamer from Martin Hayes.
Now, what can Merson do here? Well, he's miskicked, but Martin Hayes hasn't. He's scored a stunner. And Arsenal lead France on the hour. And Hayes, who's barely been on the pitch 2 minutes, reminds us that he was Arsenal's top scorer a couple of years ago. Has been short of opportunities this season, but when Merson miskicked, that fell invitingly for him, and it was unstoppable. Here's Terry Groves, another of the squad members who have made useful contributions this season without being regulars. Groves, a scorer in the last home league game against West Ham when he was deputising for Marwood. And he can run. Smith! Arsenal lead 2-0. And the substitutions get more and more inspired. Was that a little grin of satisfaction by George Graham? Groves comes on to roar away down the far side and deliver the cross that Smith was first to, and it looped over Batts. 2-0, 16 minutes left.
The game was a precursor for the special relationship which would develop between France and Arsenal Football Club many years later, with the appointment of Arsène Wenger and the emergence of club legends like Patrick Vieira, Robert Pires and Thierry Henry. We'll have another history lesson next week, but next we'll talk to Adrian Clarke about the weekend's clash against Leicester. Adrian Clarke joins me now. Clarkey, always a pleasure, my friend. How's life with you?
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, all is well, thank you.
Good. And, of course, it is the big one coming up next, isn't it? Crucial that Arsenal have got this chance now to potentially close the gap to 2 points. Massive game against an outstanding team who've just been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it is the most important match of the entire season, isn't it? And I'm just can't wait for it, I've got to be honest, because Leicester City are one of those sides you can't take your eye off this season. It's an incredible story. It's well documented, of course, but they haven't fluked their way to the top of the table. That's the most important thing to note. They deserve to be there because of their energy, their teamwork, and because a number of individuals in that team are top quality, or top quality, as the manager might like to point out. So Leicester City will be a real test of Arsenal's credentials.
Maybe we'll start with the manager for a second, because, I mean, this is remarkable in itself, isn't it? I think he was the bookies' favourite to be sacked of all the managers as the season started, coming in after a couple of ropey jobs, let's be honest. But he's done absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah, nothing on his recent CV suggested that he deserved the job. And I was among the vast majority of people that feared for Leicester City this season. He's used his experience wisely, I think, of English football, and remembered the fact that Nigel Pearson had got that team going towards the end of the last season. He'd found a really nice formula that worked for them. So, in essence, Ranieri didn't change a lot. He brought in a couple of quality players and basically instilled great belief and confidence in the guys within his squad and let them continue surfing that wave, and that wave is just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, you look at the points they've accrued since sort of January 2015 to now, and it is absolutely phenomenal, isn't it? Some bloke called Vardy, that's it. Yeah, apparently he's quite good.
He's not bad, is he? He's a bit slow, though. look, he is top class. He really is. He's not just about speed. We know about that burst that he's got, but in the goals that he scored this season, he's also proved that he's a quality finisher, not just with one foot, but with both feet and with his head as well. He is one of these all-round strikers that you can't afford to take your eyes off. So whoever plays centre-half for Arsenal this weekend, well, they're going to have to concentrate for the 90 minutes.
And obviously Adrian Emanu's helped pull the strings and helped set up some of Vardy's goals and has scored a huge number himself and set up a huge number himself is Riyad Mahrez. Yeah. A wonderful player and, again, a guy who never really has shown anything like this kind of form.
Not at all, no. £400,000, absolute bargain. He was a touch inconsistent last season, but I think Ranieri saw beyond that, saw that he could be a real match winner this season. Maybe also saw that he was a confidence player and said to Riyad Mahrez, I'm going to build this team around you and Jamie Vardy. You're going to play almost every week. If you deliver me work rate, you are going to play week in, week out, and you're going to make the difference for me. And it's a prophecy that's come true. So sometimes it's man management that can help bring the best out of players. And I think that's what we've seen with Mahrez.
And they are the two headline grabbers, as we know. But what's impressed me every time I've seen Leicester this season is just how the rest of the collective work as well. Not particularly flashy names, but they all do a job and they do it consistently, don't they?
Yeah, the key to their success has been teamwork. Obviously, the headline acts are Vardy and Mahrez, but in terms of their organisation without the ball, their work rate, compactness, discipline, all the dirty work, they do it just so effectively. It's incredible. They're very, very well drilled by Claudio Ranieri, who doesn't tolerate people letting them down. And because nobody is letting him down, he's picking the same 11 players every single week. And that in itself is creating such a settled side that the teamwork is just getting stronger and stronger, and so is the bond.
And as we saw with their magnificent win against Manchester City at the weekend, Clarkie, when they attack and counter-attack, they do it with pace, don't they, and a real ruthless edge. Is that going to be a worry for Arsenal, or can they counter it?
Well, it is a worry because Arsenal will have the bulk of possession and they will be looking to probe in and around the final third. The key for Arsene Wenger's side is not to leave themselves too vulnerable. I think it's a very important role, the defensive midfield spot in this match, whether it's Flamini or Coquelin, we're not sure. And I don't want to see both fullbacks going forward at once. I think we just need to keep three or four players back ready for these transitions and quick turnovers, because when Leicester hit you that way, they're incredibly hard to stop. And so is Vardy. You hesitate for a moment and he'll punish you.
So what can Arsenal do then to hurt Leicester?
Well, there are a number of ways that we can hurt Leicester. We saw that, didn't we, in the 5-2 victory at the King Power. There aren't too many weaknesses in this side. Perhaps look at the matchup between Alexis and Danny Simpson at right back. He might not be the strongest player in that 11, and Alexis could be the man to really unlock the door over that side. And as well as Huth and Morgan have played, they've been heroic and they were brilliant against Manchester City. I still think they're vulnerable to little runs and incisive pieces of football in and around them. So if Arsenal can get runners off of Giroud, break into the box, that's where we can score goals.
So what would be your key head-to-head battle?
Oh, there are just so many, aren't there? It's a hard one to call. I can't really look beyond Koscielny against Vardy, because Vardy is the main threat. He is the guy that you've got to look after. It may be Koscielny, it may be Gabriel. I expect the two quickies to play, I do, because it might be just a risk too far to bring Mertesacker back in. So Gabriel and Koscielny, can they handle Vardy? If they can, Arsenal will score, I think, and will win the game.
And just finally, in a sentence, how do you beat Leicester?
Given how confident Leicester are at the moment, I think it's important to score the first goal. Get our noses in front, and then I think we can see off Leicester City. When they went behind against Liverpool, they couldn't come back. They're excellent front runners, Leicester. Let's score first and get the job done.
Clarkie, always a pleasure, my friend, and thank you very much indeed.
Top man.
And remember, every Monday you can see Adrian on The Breakdown on Arsenal.com. So that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Dan Roebuck, Nick Brumsack and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that you never miss a new show. We're back on Monday the 15th of February. Until then, it's bye for now and come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast on iTunes or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.